week. We're going to wrap this up. And the next Sunday, I'm going to launch into the book of 1 Peter. We're going to walk through that, the five chapters of 1 Peter, and see what we can learn from his life. In fact, there are passages I used last week, this week, and you're going to hear them again because it's so powerful. Church, you are called by God. As followers of Christ, you've been chosen by God, set apart, gifted, enabled, empowered to do what? To fulfill a very unique calling he has for you. Last week, of course, we built on a foundation of that call and what it means. And we looked at, I think, what was a very powerful and a very personal verse that Paul the Apostle writes from a Roman prison. And here it is again in Ephesians 4:1. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead. Let me pause there for a moment. I didn't pause there last week. He doesn't say just live a life, but lead a life. Leadership of your own life. Take lead in it. Lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Church, we have to recognize that we've been set apart. We have a unique purpose for the kingdom of God that we've been called to. We're people who are to be holy, who are to go in the world, share the goodness and the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. We've been called to do that because we are the church. Amen? Amen. So Heavenly Father, today I ask that by the power of your word that is working in us and the presence of your spirit that you have placed within us, you would stir us to a spiritual passion. That we would live a life worthy and lead a life worthy of our calling. So empower us today to live out that calling in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody say this again, I am called. Say it good with boldness here. There you go. And we welcome those in your living room or wherever you might be watching online. I am called. You know that. Now, those that maybe you social distant from this morning, would you look at one of them and say, you are called? Now look at the person who was your second choice and tell them, you are called too. All right. I want to show you three things in Scripture today that specifically tell us that we are called. In fact, they all happen to begin with the same letter, even in Scripture, so it's not something I did, or I don't think something really God did, but maybe it'll help us remember them. Let me start with number one. Number one is God calls you to salvation. Everybody say that with me. God calls you to salvation. Church, this is great news. This is good news. Before God ever calls someone to a job or a position or to do something in ministry, God calls you to himself. Listen how Jesus puts it in Luke 5:32. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Did God call any of you? Yeah. Jesus came to call the sinner to come into relationship with him. Church, it doesn't matter what you've done. It does not matter how dark your life feels. You are called to come to Jesus. You can come to him as you are and where you are. He is calling everyone to salvation, to be transformed by his grace and the love that he offers to all, to whosoever, to whoever will believe. Amen? And church, could I remind you, do not ever let that call to salvation become old news in your life. You are called by God to salvation. In fact, right now, in this service, right here, if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, you can surrender your life to him today. You, in fact, I'm going to have us right now. Would you just bow your heads right where you are? And if you're at home and you know you need a Savior, you know that you're a sinner, and you know God is calling you. If that's you, whether you're right here in this place, and right here, you can raise your hand, or if you're online, you can even say, I'm going to slip my hand up. If you're right here and you need to do that right now, you know God's calling you. Let's make it right before we move forward. Is there anyone? Just want to give it a moment. For those maybe online, would you just pray this with me, everybody? Let's just resettle our salvation and say, Heavenly Father, take all of my life. Forgive all of my sins. Save me. Change me. Make me new. I say yes to your call to salvation. I say yes to being changed. I say yes to serving you. Thank you for my new life. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And I celebrate with those who have already made that decision, those who may have just made that decision, and to those who just made it, welcome to the family of God. Amen? Because why? We've been called. Church, we have been called to salvation. But there's another call we need to talk about too. We touched on this last week. Number two, God calls you to sanctification. Everybody say that. God calls you to sanctification. Now, this is a theological term, yet is a biblical term that essentially means to be set apart for God. God has called you to live a holy life, different than how this world lives. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it declares this, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. How? Through and through, there's a work going on. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So church, God calls us to salvation, but he calls us also to this being set apart so we can live a holy life until he comes for his church. Amen? But how do we live that holy life? I want you to listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Listen carefully, and there's a lot of action points in here, but let's start with this one. So prepare your minds for action. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Anybody need help with self-control? Then exercise it. Try it out. Put it into practice. You know, if you're going to lift weights, you've got to exercise it. Put all your hope, some of your hope, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ Jesus is revealed to the world. Verse 14, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in how much? Everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scripture says you must be holy because I am holy. Church, God calls us to himself. He calls us to be set apart first to that salvation. Then he calls us to this sanctification because God wants you to live a life that lines up with his word. Psalm 119:9 asks this question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Now, church, in honesty, this really applies to anyone of any age. The idea, though, is to start young so you'll follow him all the days of your life. Jesus says in Matthew 20, verse 24 of chapter 7, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Church, we want to hear what Jesus says so we can build on foundations that are unshakable. And we do that by following his word. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Church, wisdom comes from God's word. Amen? Amen. So number one, God calls you to salvation. Number two, God calls you to sanctification. Number three, God calls you to service. God has called each and every one of us to use the various gifts that he has given us to serve him. Those gifts that he placed within you when he formed you, the gifts, the talents, the abilities that we have. Some have come by natural gifting, some by spiritual gifting. Some happen because we learned the ability, we had the ability to learn a new talent or something over time. And God wants to use those things to serve him. Romans 12, 6 to 8 says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. In 1 Peter again, chapter 4, here's what he says. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen? Is that not what we want to do? God, I'm using that thing you put within me so that you can get glory, because I know you made me, you saved me, you sanctified, you're using me, and I want you to get the glory forever and ever. Amen. Should be that exciting to serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in how many people? Everyone. So first, God does call us to himself, and with that call, he begins to transform our lives, and then he calls us to engage and use what he's put inside of us to make a difference in the world. Calls us to himself for salvation, calls us to sanctification, and then to service. Now, his calling for you into service might be very specific, or it could be very broad. You need to understand that. Remember last week we looked at Colossians 3:17 where Paul says, "And whatever you do," how broad does that sound? "Whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, however you serve, wherever you are, do it all for Jesus. But I know the question that rises in our thoughts. If I'm called, how do I know I'm ready? Do I know enough? And am I good enough? The devil ever brought those thoughts to your mind? Then that's the devil. God says, "I've called you." These are normal questions that will rise. But we've got to let our faith in what God is doing in our life kick in deep into our hearts and believe God has called us to serve. Now, I believe that God can use us at any time, at any place. We just need to follow His timing, His place, His direction in our lives. Listen to what Paul tells the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Some of you need to remember where you were when you were called to salvation. Think how bad you really were. Think of what was happening in your life. And then he goes on to say, not many of you, and this part's encouraging to me, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. This is encouraging to me, because when God calls you to salvation and to sanctification and to service, we feel so many times, well, He just calls the best. God has a way, I want you to know, of calling those who are untrained, who may appear unqualified, and those who might think they're unprepared. And it's because that God calls people that others might see as a nobody, but by His power, He uses them to make an impact and a difference in the world. In Acts 4:13, we read about two disciples that were preaching the gospel, and I want you to hear what was said about them. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men. How would you like to be considered unschooled and ordinary? But they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Listen, I pray that however God chooses to use you to serve, the most important part of it all is that you are noticed as one who has been with Jesus. Let me make this statement. God does not always call the prepared. You've heard this before. But God always prepares those He calls. Amen? So this is good news for all of us. God will prepare us. God will help us make a difference in the world. I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home. And I love that, and I appreciate that, but I'm going to have to tell you a little part of the story this morning. While I was in high school, my two older brothers had become pastors. They were both pastoring churches. And, of course, we're going to church, we're attending church, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't think God needed another pastor from our family. That is what's going on in my thinking. There's two. And so I loved God. I wanted to serve God. So guess what I was going to do? I was going to be a good churchgoer while being a math teacher. That's what I thought I was going to do. I wanted to go to college because, and get a degree, because no one in my family had ever done that, at least at that point. Also, my dad has served in the military, and no one else in our family had done that. So I thought, I'm going to do that. And so in my final year of high school, my senior year, actually January of my senior year, I actually signed up in January to enter the Air Force. After graduation, I was immediately off to basic training. A year later, I ended up in the Air Guard so I could go to college. It was a time of peace, and I started taking classes, and I was working to become a math teacher. All the while, though, I need to let you know, I felt God tugging at my heart about something. I felt like I was not really probably doing what He wanted me to do. Now, I loved Him, and I was being transformed through all of that. God's working on my life. But after 60 hours of, I'd invested 60 hours in that college to become a math teacher. It was at a district summer camp that me and a friend were sitting on the tailgate of a truck. And after a long discussion with Terry Rogers, me and him, we prayed and we sat there. And we both felt a call to full-time ministry on the tailgate of a truck at a camp after night. We had put the kids into the cabin, and we were just talking. So we both felt a call to go to Southeastern. We both transferred the hours we had to go to Southeastern University of Lakeland, Florida. I changed my degree from secondary education with an emphasis in math to secondary education with music as my emphasis instead of math. But for God to really get my attention, do you know how God works? You know, he still has to get your attention. Now, I'm at a Bible college now. I'm training for ministry, right? I'm being real transparent with you this morning, so here it is. I actually failed my very first year. I failed one of my education classes. I'm telling you, I don't know how I failed it. I do not think I was doing bad in the class. I did not fail one test. I don't know what happened. I went to the professor. We talked about it. The bottom line, the professor said, you failed the class. You're going to have to retake it. It was that class, though, that helped me really surrender my life to a full-time call. Why? Because in the back of my mind, I had a backup plan to ministry. I could be a music teacher if ministry did not work out. By the way, I did retake the education class, and I passed it. But I changed my major once again from education and went into what's called just sacred music. And, of course, Bible is my other major. And after college graduation, God started using me as a full-time music minister in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And that's where I started, in 1988, in full-time ministry. But God has navigated that call in my life through the years until I am here now as a lead pastor at Northfield Christian. I don't know about you, but I still want God to navigate my call. Why? Because it's really His call. I just want to be willing to do whatever He wants me to do, and I'm willing to do it without a backup plan. That was something God had to work in me. You see, life started for me at that salvation call at 8 years old. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of sanctification moments along the way for me. And moments where I've had the ability and opportunity to use the gifts that God gave me to serve Him. And all of that has led me to where I am today. But I want you to know, God is not finished with me yet. And He's not finished with you. What about you? I know many of you have been saved. Many of you have God working in your life to sanctify you. That's the ongoing work. But are you ready to serve? I know you're called to serve. There's no question of that. And I want you to know, serving doesn't mean you lead a church. You're called to serve wherever you are, with whatever you do, as long as you do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. And just remember this, remember what you were when you were called to salvation. All of us were a mess. We really were. We were all sinners. We were lost. But we're different today. God has grown us into His love. He's grown us into His grace. He's grown us into His forgiveness. Why? For all of that to pour out of our lives. We've learned the Word of God. And all of us are still learning how to apply His Word to different situations every day. Amen? And I want you to know God is still calling people to salvation today. And guess what? That may be part of how He uses you to serve Him. God will continue to call people to be holy for Him. He didn't say, I got enough holy people. He calls all of us to that. But He's also calling us to that service. As I come to a close today, I want to give you two things you need to know, though, about your calling. And the first one is this: the call will cost you. the call will cost you. When God calls Saul, remember Saul to salvation, who we know as Paul the Apostle? It was a dramatic calling. His sanctification was a process. Saul was the guy who hated Christians and persecuted them, stood there giving approval, holding the coats of those who were stoning believers or stoning Stephen, if you remember. But Paul, as we know, Saul, was also called to serve. And that message came to a man named Ananias, and we read about it in chapter 9 of Acts. But let me tell you what the message was not first, okay? Ananias did not hear from God and tell Saul this: "Hey, Saul, your eyes are going to be healed, and after that, you've got this crazy testimony. You're going to be a massive influencer in the world, and people are going to want to hear from you. And by the way, you're going to get a book deal in it all, too." That is not what Ananias heard. In fact, let's go and see what Ananias heard in chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel.'" Verse 16, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Church, the call may cost you. And like Saul, you are his chosen instrument. And you need to know the cost along the way. It may not happen immediately, but it could cost you your friends. It might cost you family. You might be misunderstood, and most likely you're going to have spiritual attacks from the enemy in your life. So you need to know the call may come at a cost. But could I tell you this? Never sacrifice your call to just stay comfortable. Do not sit back and be afraid of the cost, because there's something else you need to know about the call, and that's this: the call will sustain you. The call will carry you through and keep you going. Whenever I look at the Apostle Paul again, the one we just talked about, who God saved and said, "You're going to suffer," the question comes up in my mind: how did he withstand everything he went through? How did he remain faithful and not get discouraged in the midst of it all? I mean, he got beat again and again. And one time he was beaten and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He was wrongly imprisoned. How did he remain faithful? How did he stay true to Jesus? How did he persevere when so many others were even falling away? The answer is this: Paul knew he was called, and that call sustained him. Listen to Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul writes this: "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Listen to what lies ahead. "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is" what? "Calling us." Not just him, but us. Paul says, I haven't obtained it. I didn't reach every goal that I wanted to do. But I tell you what, I pressed on. And I keep pressing on. And I'm going to fulfill my call. In fact, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he says this way: "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Today, you need to know you're called. What are you called to? First, you're called to salvation. It's the greatest gift in the world, something you cannot earn, something you really did not deserve, but you've been offered forgiveness for your sins through Jesus Christ. What a call. You're called to be sanctified. You're called to be set apart as the church. You're called to be holy. And remember from last week, and I repeat it this week, it's more about the who than the do. Because when you are who God wants you to be, you'll be amazed what he can do through you. And thirdly, you're called to service. You're called to ministry. Because you can make a difference in this world. Worship team, would you join me? Church, and I speak to you as individually, is not a building, but to people. You are called. You are light in this world. You are an ambassador. You offer hope in this world of darkness. So shine your light into it. And when someone's hurting, guess what? You have the answer. When someone is far from God, you can help connect them to God. When there's a need, guess what? You have access to the very heart of God. You have the ministry of reconciliation, helping broken people find their way back to the grace of God. You are called to salvation, saved by grace. You are called to sanctification, to live a life worthy of your calling. You are created by God, uniquely equipped with gifts that he gave you, passions that he has placed in your heart to serve him in a way only you can do. You say, well, Pastor, I can't do what you're doing. You're not supposed to do what I'm doing. And I'm not supposed to do what you're called to do. I want to close by reading a portion of God's word to you and over you. And I say this with Paul today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you. Church, I will continue to pray for you. For what God is calling you to do. Why? So that our God may make you and me and all of us worthy of his calling. And that by his power, church, remember, it's not based on our own effort. It's based upon the power of God at work in us, that he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness, and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that for you. Church, for some, it has cost them everything to follow Christ. But the cost is worth it because the call is so much more important. I want us to stay true to our faith. I'm not really trying to be prophetic in any way here, futuristic, but church, I just sense we're in days that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be challenged to who they really are. And we're going to have to make a decision about the call. Are we really about the call? Because we are in a co-mission with God to see this world know him. Would you lift these words of a song, and kind of as a benediction in our hearts and a prayer? Sing it a little bit earlier, but sing it with passion. Sing it with life.
We'll build my life upon your love.
I will put my trust.
I will put my trust in.
We want to fulfill your call. Thank you for saving us. Thank you. Thank you, God. When I remember or think about where my life could have ended up, God, thank you. God, thank you for transforming the way I think. Continue your work in my heart, in my life. Continue it in your church, God, that our minds will become like the mind of Christ. And Lord, whatever you have placed us, let us quit looking for the next thing and just serve where we are. Because God, you direct our steps. You navigate our lives. And we trust you with that. Why? Because you're faithful. And Lord, because we're in commission with you, we're not on our own mission. We're being led by the Spirit of God. So God, have your way with our lives. We build our lives upon you. It's firm. It's settled. It's okay. And God, our lives are completely in your hands. So have your way. Speak to us. And lead us and help us lead a life worthy of our calling. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, I've read some scriptures today. I don't know which ones really hit you, but maybe you need to exercise some self-control this week. Maybe you need to know you're called. Maybe you really need to understand you are equipped. Maybe you were concerned you didn't have the power to do it. It's not your power anyway. It's his power. And all those things in our minds say, well, you're just not ready. You're ready. Maybe you're not ready to run a whole crusade over in India. But maybe you're ready just to pray for your coworker when you recognize they're in need. Maybe it's for the lady who serves you lunch. I guess we don't have any servers right now. That might be coming. Church, we just serve where we are because that's what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. So church, I'm going to release you with a statement for action. Have a Jesus-filled week. Have it. Choose to have it because I want God to get the glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.